Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I can't help but think about where we are right now. There was a man being interviewed, and we'll talk more about it probably tomorrow, on Sid Roth's program. Mm-hmm. Sid Roth, he says that it's supernatural. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you got to do it better than that.
Say how it says it.
Oh, Pat, come on. It's supernatural. I don't know. I can't do it that well. Pat, come on. Help me out.
I don't know. How does he say it?
He says it's supernatural.
Okay.
No, that it was John McTernan. John McTernan, that's McTernan. And he's the one you may have heard that was able to go back and research how every time American leadership did something to Israel, tried to divide the land or spoke against them. And one of them he talked about was FDR. Mm-hmm. FDR went to the King of Jordan, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the president. He went to the King of Jordan and says, listen, we will provide you military protection if you'll provide us oil. And they cut a deal right there. That's how that all started, by the way. Now you see all the presidents going paying homage to the King of Jordan, King Abdul. I didn't know this. I just found this out. And but then, as things begin to bubble up a little bit, they were saying, of course, being Islamic, that Israel, this is prior to 1948, with Israel becoming a nation, and they're saying it shall never, never, Israel should never become a nation. It should never come together. We should never give them the land to become a nation. And that's what Jordan was saying, and all those, according to what he's saying, John Buchanan. Mm-hmm. And so FDR writes a letter to the King of Jordan. And you can see this at sidroth.org. You go to VFN Torch. Go to VFN Torch, and it's been made available to you. You get to that at VFNTV.com. He writes a letter to the King of Jordan assuring him that we will never let this happen. The American president said, we will never let this happen.
Oh, wow.
7 days later, we'll never let Israel become a nation. Uh-huh. And this is like 1945, something like that. And 48, of course, is when they did. But 1945. And so 7 days later to the day, FDR dies.
Wow.
And Harry Truman.
Wow.
The greatest friend Israel has ever had as presidency in the White House, whose grandmother taught him, or his mother taught him on her knee as a child, that God will bless those who bless Israel. And in that conversation, and mothers out there, did you think, training your children up in the way they should go, that they will not remember what you've taught them? Hello.
Right.
He was there faced with this reality of, should I or should I not? Mm-hmm. And he stood boldly and he signed, Harry Truman signed, the buck stops here, President, signed the letter saying that we support this and they should become a nation.
Wow.
So FDR, who said we will never let this happen, died 7 days later.
Wow.
When he wrote a letter. But he was replaced by God's will.
That's right.
That said, not only will we make it happen, but we'll sign a letter, let the whole world know we're gonna make it happen.
That's right.
I mean, this is amazing. You gotta check this out. Go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch to see this segment. It'll be made available to you. I believe it's actually, the video is going to be on the VFN Torch there. But I love Sid Roth. I mean, I love his love for God and the Jewish people. And of course, he's Jewish, Messianic believer. But then where we are at this one moment in time, we're in this one moment in time right now where, John talks about, John McTernan talks about what said that when January the 1st rolled around of this year, 2012, he just felt this overwhelming, dull, something's about to happen. Mm-hmm. And it's just hung with him. And you can feel it in your body.
He's not the only one, right?
Right. You can feel it in your body, and that's kind of like, you can kind of watch my body. I used to always think, what are these people talking about? What are they talking about that they're... that their body goes to intercession and these things are happening. I think it's just the overwhelming knowing of what your spirit knows what's about to happen, and our flesh is so temporal and so weak that it just can't handle, you know, this overwhelming reality of what's about to take. I don't know. I just know that I too have been carrying that. And I've been carrying it for quite a while now. And, of course, a lot of things that God has shared with me, I was able to share some of them. And we saw them come to pass. Mm-hmm. But those are just like, the opening acts to what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, everybody's leaning forward.
Mm-hmm.
And they're thinking as if their vote is what's going to save the world and save America. And, you know, we always do say vote. You know, spend time with God. Check out the person's values. Reconnect with your godly values and vote accordingly. But the something, somebody says, well, you know, I don't want to be gloom and doom. It's like, hey, I just want to let you know. I mean, wouldn't you want to know if you were working in the Twin Towers on 9/11 that would you say, well, I'm just so glad you didn't tell us that planes were going to come into the towers. Thank you for holding back the truth that you knew that was going to take place.
Right.
But the way men are, it's like we don't want to hear it until after it happens so we can accuse you for not telling us.
Of course.
Right. Why didn't you tell us? But the thing is, you got to be either, you know, popular with the man or powerful with God. You got to decide, do you want the power of God in your life or do you want the popularity with men?
Mm-hmm.
Are you popular in heaven or popular on earth?
Right.
And so this overwhelming feeling, I would love to shake it. I can't shake it. I've tried all kinds of things to remove it. And the truth is, the overwhelmingly hard times are coming.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming, and it's not going to be saved by some election. And you can't spend $16 trillion, borrow it from an adversarial nation that has 1.4 billion people in it that have a one-child policy that the land is filled with the blood of Chinese babies. They force abortion, which our president said, our vice president said he thought it was a good idea. And borrow your future from them. You can't sit here and make a pact with radical Islam that it's an antichrist mindset. They anti-Jesus.
Right.
And think that, hey, this is all going to work out well. And while at the same time, the church is in rebellion to God. We've accepted so many abnormal things as normal. We're constantly have to look at ourselves like, okay, wait a minute. I know everybody here in Noah's community is doing this.
Right.
The Noah Township, right? That they're all doing this, but I still have to ask myself, what does God say about this?
Right.
And it's really hard. It's hard when everybody, I mean, which means, think about it. If everybody, not everybody, but just imagine if the majority of people are doing something that's not right, that means the leaders have made laws to approve it. It means that religious leaders have adopted God's message to fit to what's wrong. It means that they sell things that promote that, like the little idols and stuff that was back in Ephesus. Well, today, all of society's promoting the very thing that we're supposed to demote in our own life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's not easy. It's not easy to walk through a brothel and not look. You know what I'm saying? It's not easy to walk through going through financial struggles and know that you see all these temptations to be able to acquire wealth, but you know, hey, that's the wrong way to acquire wealth. The temptations that come there. I mean, you're constantly checking yourself. And we're in that moment in time that we have to be willing to step out from amongst them and be separate. That's what we're called to do. But understand this, it's almost impossible to do if you're going to continue to hang around those who refuse to step out and be separate. You're going to be almost like cancerous to them. You're going to be treated like Jeremiah. You know, the first thing he opened and he shared truth amongst the people. And he was sharing truth because he wanted, he was doing what God told him to do, but he wanted everybody to make it. But their first response to Jeremiah was, lock him up.
Right.
And it started with the leaders of the of God's people and the population and the people of the community, you know, lock him up. But it was the people of the community that came back and said, wait a minute. Isn't it interesting? Now, the priest didn't come back and say, wait a minute, because it was the ultimate insult to the church leader, the leadership of God's people at that time, because it meant they were not only wrong, they were really evilly wrong. And so, but the people came back and they said, wait a minute, don't kill them. And they started thinking, well, didn't so-and-so prophesy something in our past? And didn't King so-and-so listen to them? And when they did that, it's exactly what happened. And God, we repented and God kept us.
Right.
And they said, well, also, didn't so-and-so prophesy to King, you know, and didn't he respond and didn't we make it? Isn't this just like that? Isn't what Jeremiah is saying just like that? And, of course, the leadership's like, no, it can't be. And it's like, dude, no, come on. Why not make it? Why not be wrong? When you think about Paul and Peter, Paul walked down to Peter, and he said he confronted Peter to his face. He said he told him, you're clearly wrong, because he was trying to play both sides. He was trying to say that there is a different sect of Christian Jews and a different sect of Gentile Christians, and that he would act one way he was with one and he act one way with another, which just created a huge division, I'm sure, in the church. But Paul just walked up and said, Peter, you are clearly wrong.
Knock it off.
Knock it off. And so it's not evil. It's like it was wrong.
Right.
And so I feel like the overwhelming feeling. So, I, you know, when you read about the prophetic warnings on the VFN torch, and most people, since the culture is kind of bought into this wrong way of being right, that they're not going to be on your boat. They're not going to get on your bandwagon. They're not going to celebrate it. Yeah. But there will be a people that it says, I was wondering what was wrong.
Sure.
There will be a people that says, I just couldn't, I see now. It totally makes sense to me. And it's kind of odd and peculiar to think, well, for so long, this is where we met and we, you know, we talked about God. There was a day we all joined together and worshiped in this place and we saw God move. And you got to remember that just because God moved once don't mean he'll move again.
Right.
Just because he was invited during a season of time under a certain leadership doesn't mean the new leadership is going to invite him in the same way.
Right.
It doesn't mean what was started in the spirit in some sawdust barn floor years ago has not now ended up trying to be accomplished in the flesh. And, you know, we have some gatherings that talk about, yeah, we born in a sawdust floor. And it's like, maybe we need to go back to the sawdust floor.
Right.
And it was that crying out to God that birthed a gathering of people that's brought health for over a period of time. But all of a sudden, at some point, you know, whether it is an Absalom coming in or a situation happening, but just takes the reins and turns it a different direction. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And just because it was right doesn't mean it is right. And the way you find it, there's a litmus test for knowing whether God's pleased with it or not. Is he there? is he there? Is God there? Do you sense his presence? Like we were talking about yesterday in Rethinking the Church, you know, George Barna stated in his book, Revolution, Are You Worn Out in Church? He says statistically that 75% of regular church attenders, at least attend church, a gathering twice a month, every 2 weeks, they say that they've worshiped God and they believe that worship is about them. And the majority of them never even have sensed God's presence in an entire year. And it's like, at some point, you know, at some point in a relationship, you're going to want to know they're there.
Yeah.
I'm tired of talking to the air, right? Mm-hmm. At some point, a relationship has some sort of, I mean, a genuine relationship has some sort of connection, some sort of, you know, mm-hmm. I'm aware that you're here and you're aware that I'm here. And so we find out that the traditions of men makes God's word of non-effect. And the overwhelming, I don't know, we're seeing it happen already. We're seeing these things happen. Mm-hmm. And you can go to the VFN Torch and check out the update on the storm. It's actually the menu button at the top, too. I think you'll be able to get right directly to it as well, of John Paul Jackson. Mm-hmm. But just to know this, that just like he describes it, how John McTernan describes it, that that's exactly how many of us are feeling, that this looming about to happen. Now, realize God will protect his people. I mean, Psalms mm-hmm. 91 is going to be kicked in. He that abides under the shadow, right,
mm-hmm.
of the Almighty. So yeah. Abiding, we talk about abiding. We're saying, listen, I have a storm shelter for you. And you can find it at iabide.org. A mm-hmm. storm shelter. Why? Because he who abides with the Lord. And it goes on to list all these protections, how you're protected. Abiding is not somebody that's saved. Abiding is somebody who abides.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not abiding with God, if you're not spending time with God, hiding his word in your heart, building a relationship with him, mm-hmm. and getting to know him and hiding his word in your heart to the point that you don't want to sin against him and obeying what he leads you to do or tells you to do, I mean, it's not abiding. So find out how to do that at iabide.org. It's a storm shelter. It's a storm shelter. There's a storm on the horizon.
Mm.
And if you can try to build you something out of bricks, you can try to build you something out of gold. You can try to build you something out of your thoughts, your ideas, and your schemes. But I got a storm shelter for you. It's abiding with God. He that abides under the shadow of the Almighty will be protected.
That's
Find
right.
out more about it at iabide.org.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.